Good evening, and welcome to a special telephone town hall for residents of Pontiac on the coronavirus with County Executive Dave Coulter and Mayor Deirdre Waterman. My name is Hillary, and I work for Mr. Coulter. Let me tell you a little bit about the call so we can get started. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9. Because of the number of people involved in the call, it's set up as listen only. So right now, you can hear us, but we can't hear you. During the question and answer period, I can press a button on my computer so that the person asking the question can be heard by the rest of us when they ask their question. So if you'd like to ask a question, press 9. You'll be transferred to another member of our staff who will take down your name and the subject of your question. After you provide that information, you'll return to the main call. When I call on your name, you'll be able to ask your question. So again, welcome to a special telephone town hall for residents of Pontiac. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 9. Now I'm going to turn the call over to Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter.
Well, good evening, everyone, and I really appreciate that you're going to take the time to join us tonight and hear more about what we're doing to help keep residents safe during this coronavirus pandemic. I know these are really uncertain times, and I want to make sure that you have the facts about the coronavirus so that you can stay safe and healthy, and we'll also tell you the things that we're doing as a county government and as a city government in lockstep with our public health department to help slow the spread of the virus in our community. I'm so delighted to be joined tonight by Mayor Deirdre Waterman, who's been such a great partner of ours and so proactive in helping us address the needs of the citizens of Pontiac, as well as just helping us be a great sounding board here in Oakland County. So, Mayor Deirdre Waterman, thank you for being on the line, and let me let you say a few words.
Thank you so much, Dave, and thank you for co-hosting this teleconference with me in Pontiac. I know there's a thirst for a lot of information, particularly as it regards our local situation. A lot of stuff on TV, and people are often calling to find out what are the particulars and specifics for Pontiac. And I must say that technology has helped us to be together by telephone conference and by Zoom. I don't know how many meetings we've done by Zoom today and plan to do that. So people who are sheltered in place have got to know that they can reach out and get the information and have the resources they need by this technology that we have. So this is one of the things that we've planned to do in this meeting this evening. In addition to the fact that we in the city have put out a lot of information since the beginning of the emergency, and people can look for that on the city website, as well as the city's 5-6 pages, as well as we have a YouTube channel. And, in fact, we put this announcement out on our Facebook page this evening. That keeps people informed, and I think there's a lot of anxiety, and people have new information and know that we're available to do that is comforting and helps squash rumors that can happen if people don't have real information. So we're working together, and I'm just thankful for all the people in Pontiac and Oakland County and everywhere else who have come together in this crisis to work together. There's so many spots that people have opened food distribution centers, and I understand the National Guard. I'll have more information about that that's coming into the city as well. And I have established a hotline as well that people can call if they have any kind of information that they want or need to know about local questions or concerns. And that hotline number is 248-758-3300. So I know there's a lot of questions that people have. Thank you for offering this, and I'll wait to hear the stats from Kathy Forsley, and then there's a few other questions that we've heard specifically that I might address to you, Dave. You have a chance to talk to everybody about these things of concern in the community.
So the folks that have joined the call, welcome to a special telephone town hall for the residents of Pontiac. Please press 9 if you'd like to ask a question, and you'll be transferred to a member of our staff who will take down your name, and that way you'll be unmuted and you'll be able to ask your question. So please press 9 if you would like to ask a question. County Executive?
Yeah, thank you, and I'm so delighted. We have more than 600 people on the line with us, so we might not be able to get to every question, but we'll try to take as many as we can, and you can also leave a question when we're done. So now I would like to introduce Kathy Forsley, and Kathy is the director of our health department here in Oakland County, and she's got some statistics to share with you and some advice. So, Kathy, thanks for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And just to get you started, to let you know what's going on in Oakland County, currently we have 560 cases, and the age range of those cases are 14 days old to 97 years old. There's 11 deaths, I'm sad to say, and the age range of those deaths is 41 years old to 90. Hospitalizations are currently at 139, and the age range of the people that are hospitalized are 21 to 92 years of age. So just to let you know that this is a rapidly evolving situation. We're learning more about coronavirus by the day, but we do know that it's you will hear it called a novel virus, which means it's new. And that means we have no immunity to it, and there is no vaccine for it. So throughout conversation, we'll answer questions about what you can do to prevent the spread of the virus.
Okay. I know we have a number of questions, but I also know that we're joined by a special guest, which is Pontiac Council President Kermit Williams, and so...
Mr. Williams, I think I've unmuted your line. Mr. Williams,
hello.
Oh, excellent. I also want to mention that State Senator Rosemary Bear is on the line with us, and our very own County Commissioner Angie Powell is on the line with us as well. Mr. Williams, go ahead.
Hello, and thank you, County Executive Coulter and team, for putting this together. You guys have been leading the charge on the coronavirus, and I just want to let all the citizens of Pontiac know that together we're going to be able to do this. If you want to volunteer, the Pontiac Community Foundation, along with Oakland University, has put together an incredible website about how you can give back during this pandemic. So thank you guys so much. I'm looking forward to hearing that information on the call.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and take some of the questions we have. So we have a question from Ms. Moore. Ms. Moore, can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead and ask your question, ma'am.
Hi, yes. I have children ages 16, 11, and 8, and I myself. And then my husband was still working, and he's come down with all of the symptoms as of Sunday and Monday. So I'm trying to quarantine him. How do I keep the rest of the house safe?
So you're doing the right thing by quarantining your husband, and the best way to do that is to isolate him in a room by himself. And if he can have a separate bathroom, that would be wonderful, but if he can't, then make sure that all of the surfaces that he might touch while he was in there is sanitized before the next person uses that. He should stay out of the living quarters and out of the kitchen, and just really do your best to keep the family isolated from him, deliver meals to him, but don't let the kids spend time in the bedroom with him. Just really find other ways to communicate with him without being in close contact.
Perfect. That's exactly what we were doing, and I just wanted to make sure that I'm not overdoing anything. Perfect.
You can't overdo it.
I have another question. Regarding testing, Ms. Wright. Go ahead, Ms. Wright.
Yes, good afternoon, and again, thank you for your efforts. My question focuses on the testing for Pontiac residents who may not have exhibited any symptoms but may have been exposed to someone that may have had or may have coronavirus.
So testing is really being reserved for the people that are most ill, that may be hospitalized or potentially should be hospitalized. But testing is they're starting to get more and more tests available. As that happens, more people, even with milder symptoms, will be tested. but I don't see in the near future that people that are not exhibiting symptoms will likely be a priority for testing at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Hillary, do we have another question?
Yes, we do. We have a question from Ms. Ratliff.
Yes. Yes, this is Ms. Rettler. I'm a school teacher here in Pontiac, and the president talking about business going back to normal by April the 6th, April the 10th. So how is that going to be safe for myself, the students, and parents, employees? Because he want to resume business back up at least by April the 10th or the 16th, and we don't have no vaccination for this virus. So how are we going to be safe?
So that's an excellent question. The governor's order was for 3 weeks, but the reality is none of us know when the exact right date is to begin to resume normal activity. We're literally taking this one day at a time, and we're learning new things every day. So I think the governor's intent was that we would reassess after 3 weeks where we are. I would just use this opportunity to tell you this. There are places that the governor has deemed essential that are still open, but we in Oakland County issued an order yesterday that even at those open facilities, they have to practice additional protocols and precautions. They have to screen their employees for a health screening to make sure that they're safe. They have to be able to provide social distancing and the like. This is very important so that when you go to an essential business, you know that you're going to be as safe as possible. It's my belief that when we do reopen schools and quote-unquote non-essential businesses, a lot of these protocols are still going to have to be in place. It won't just be going back to life as we used to know it. We are going to be in a time period for a while where additional precautions are going to be needed. I would expect that at schools, that's one of the places that they will be needed. I'm guessing at this point, but I strongly believe this will be the case. And so I will say this, we're not going to open the schools or any quote-unquote non-essential businesses until we know that we can keep employees and visitors safe, or at least as safe as we possibly can. And so there was nothing magical about that three-week order. We'll have to reevaluate that, but we'll do everything we can to make sure that when it's time to reopen, it's as safe as possible.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. This is Mayor Waterman, and yes, that is true. We've had to book on the local level, guided by our county executive and by our county health department, as well as the CDC and other health authorities, to decide what works best for our community. As you see, a lot of across the country, a lot of localities are deciding for themselves is what works best given their situation and their health status. So we've done that in Pontiac too, guided by what you have done, county executive and your health department. But also people should know as they go back, while we're taking this time to have a shutdown, that we will, when it's safe, do a deep cleaning of all the city buildings. There will be no city buildings that will be open after the shutdown until they've had that deep cleaning and sterilization. So that will be the other level of safety that people can have, in addition to what you mentioned, Dave, about the fact that you will be also doing some additional screenings and restrictions upon return.
If you would like to ask a question, please press 9 on your dial pad. Press 9 on your dial pad to ask a question. I'm going to now call on Ms. Patterson.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, ma'am.
My concern is the unsheltered homeless. What is being done to protect them? And are we talking about coming up with a temporary solution or maybe even a permanent solution so that they can have housing?
So that's a great question and a big concern of ours here at the county. We know that we have a considerable homeless population, and we want to make sure that we protect them just as much as we protect anyone else. We're doing a couple of things. We're going to launch this Friday what's called a restaurant to shelter program, so that all, so that the homeless shelters in Oakland County have the food that they need. Many of them are not getting the meals that they used to from churches and other places. So we've partnered with Lafayette Market in Pontiac and Beans and Cornbread in Southfield, and they're going to supply four of our largest sites across the county with food, including four locations that are served by the Pontiac Community Foundation in Pontiac. So there will be food for those individuals. Secondly, we're investigating whether there's another site that we can move this population to in the short term so that they can have more distance from each other, more privacy, and a safer location. We're investigating a couple sites now. One of them happens to be a former county facility that's up on Brown Road in Auburn Hills. We're looking into that right now, but I want you to be assured that these folks are on our minds and in our prayers. And I've talked with the CEOs of many of these shelter programs to understand what their needs are, and we're going to be addressing them. And Mayor, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yes, and I would like to say, this sounds like Leona Patterson, who is one of our subcommittee chairs for the census. I want to remind people that while you're home, go ahead and fill out your census. It's very important that everybody gets their census in, everyone counts. So after settling down with your shelter in place, then just remember that too. But anyway, right now everybody's mind is on the crisis. And in addition to what you have offered in terms of food for the city of Pontiac, also we are continuing to serve through our senior centers and Pontiac. Those are posted on our website, as well as the fact that there are additional grant funds that I've applied for, emergency funds, in conjunction with Lighthouse. We're waiting to get that because that will also fill the gap. But what I want to say, in addition to the sites that you've offered, the sites that it appears the National Guard will be bringing in when I get that information in a couple of days, all that will be on the city website as well as the other websites that you mentioned, county executive, so people will have access to that. But the bottom line is we have enough agencies and people who have stepped forward to provide food distribution, grocery help, all those sorts of things. We don't want anybody in Pontiac to be lacking the nourishment they need during this time. So that's why we're making all this available. I thank all those who stepped up to do that. But we want people to let anybody know who needs those services, who needs that supplementation for their diet, to make sure that they know that there are resources available. And once again, I'll say that hotline, so we'll have all that information. That's at the City Hall. It's 248-758-3300.
Thank you. And we also Hillary, hang on.
One moment. I also want to acknowledge on the homeless issue, we are joined on the call today by Representative Brenda Carter, and she's done an amazing amount of work working with the homeless organizations and the homeless community in Pontiac and at the state level. So I just want to acknowledge that Representative Carter is on the line, and I applaud her efforts as well.
And also State Senator Rosemary Baer, and I would like to, I can unmute their lines right now. So Senator Baer?
Yeah, hi, this is Senator Baer. I did want to add one thing. We are actually working with Oakland University right now trying to find dorm space for the folks who are homeless who need isolation but not hospitalization. So hopefully we will have another opportunity or another venue that we can use right nearby.
Excellent. And State Representative Brenda Carter, can you hear us? Go ahead. Representative
Yes.
Carter, there you go.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm going to echo the comments that Senator Baer made. We had a very good conversation between Rochelle Blatt and Elizabeth Kelly for the potential of making sure that we have an opportunity to utilize the dorms while they're vacant at Oakland University. So, yes, we're working aggressively to provide state resources as well.
Also, I just wanted to, again, indicate that County Commissioner Angie Powell is joining us on the call and wants to leave as much time for questions, but I wanted to make sure that everyone also acknowledged that Commissioner Powell was on the line with us as well. So if we could go ahead and take a question. From Ms. Beasley. Gloria, are you there? Hello? I can hear.
Hello?
Ms. Beasley, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, I thought I did answer the question, ask the question. If you were sitting next to a person and the daughter had it, would you be close to it?
So if you're sitting next to a parent of a person or a person who has the virus, can you get the virus?
The deceased.
Thank you. Kathy?
Yes, if you're sitting in close proximity to someone, that would be risky. We want everyone to practice social distancing, which means you need to be at least 6 feet apart from each other. So that's why we're always looking for signs and symptoms, because if someone becomes ill and they start to display signs and symptoms, we want to make absolutely sure that we're practicing that self-isolation and really working on staying away from each other.
If you want to ask a question, go ahead and press 9 to ask a question. David? I have a question from Ms. Harris. Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Harris is on the line, but she just wants us to ask her question, which is, why are people still being allowed to go into drugstores? Shouldn't they be using drive-through or delivery because that seems safer?
That's a very good question. We're using, obviously, only carry-out and drive-through for restaurants. But for a drugstore, those are pharmacies, and people need to be able to talk to their pharmacist, drop off prescriptions, and that sort of thing. But that's what I mentioned before about even the businesses that are open and essential, like a pharmacy, we're asking them, number one, do a health screening of your employees to make sure that your employees don't have the virus. And number two, figure out within your business how you can promote social distancing. A lot of businesses, for instance, have literally put tape on the floor every 6 feet apart, and if there's a line, you have to stand 6 feet apart from each other. These are the kinds of things that we're asking our businesses to do. So some of them will remain open, like grocery stores and pharmacies and banks, but even then, we're asking all of us to practice the good things that we know, coughing into your sleeve, washing your hand, keeping social distance, while we keep these essential businesses open.
We have a question.
Dave.
Okay, go ahead, Mayor.
Sorry. I think there's a caveat to that, too. We've had a few questions, and maybe we can address this for people.
Sure.
Is that the governor's order says only people with essential services should be out and doing their jobs. We had a couple things from people who are still on the job and saying, what if their boss is making them still work even though they don't feel what they're doing fits the criteria of essential services? Who should they report that to, or who could be the arbiter of that? So we've had
That's a great question.
Yeah.
We're asking people to either call the sheriff dispatch for those types of questions, or they can also call 248-858-1000, which is the county helpline, and we have a process with the sheriff to transfer to him all of those complaints. So it's 248-858-1000 for any employee that feels that their business is not adhering to the governor's executive order.
And by the way, we haven't said this yet tonight, so I just want to make sure I do. If you are employed by a company that's been deemed non-essential and you're staying at home, we need you to stay at home. That doesn't mean go shopping all once a day or try to do life as normal. These are very serious times, and we need you to stay home as much as possible. Why? Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we started the day with 5 confirmed deaths from coronavirus in Oakland County. By the end of the day, we were at 10. This is a very serious and dangerous virus. And the more that we isolate ourselves now, and I know it can be inconvenient and difficult, but the more we do it now, the less time we'll have to do this in the long run, and the sooner we'll be able to resume our normal lives. So just, you know, I know you all heard the governor's order, but I can't say it more seriously that this is the time, if you can and you must, stay home and stay safe. Thank you, everybody.
Dave, if you don't mind for a minute, I want to call on Commissioner Powell because she has a good point in terms of just the services that are at the county and you know, how people handle services. And also, I'd like to speak a little bit about the workforce office. So, Commissioner Powell, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted Executive Coker just to elaborate a little bit and letting my citizens know what is the status of the usage of the departments at the county, you know, so we'll know what is accessible, what is not. And I know we're pushing people to the website, so if you could just give us a gracious update on that, that'd greatly be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you for everything you're doing. Many of the county services have been suspended or moved online. The treasurer's office, for instance, most of the services in the clerk's office have been suspended. You should go to the website, oakgov.com, to see what is open and operational. I'll tell you one important service that continues to be open is our health department. Correct, Kathy?
Correct.
Do we want people to make appointments?
Yes.
Okay, so you can call the health department, and we are here in Pontiac on the county complex campus, and make an appointment with the health department. So that is certainly open. The sheriff's department, which obviously provides law enforcement services in Pontiac, continues to be on force and doing a great job. So really just essential services. The good news is if you use our online services to pay bills or pay taxes, we're waiving all the online fees for that, so there's no additional cost. And the other thing is we're extending some of the deadlines for those as well. So we're going to make it as easy as possible for you to conduct business with the county, but just know we're really only providing the essential services right now. And if you have a question, just go on the website, look for our number, and call first.
The other thing that happened is that the health division is open, but we're really limiting our services. I would suggest you call ahead. And if you have any questions during this coronavirus pandemic, please call our nurse on call at 1-800-848-5533. So, again, call ahead if you are needing services from the health division.
And, Kathy, what are the symptoms that people, I know we've heard this, but I think it bears repeating, and Kathy is the expert at this. What are the symptoms that people should be most concerned about?
So the classic symptoms for coronavirus are fever of 100.4 or higher, a dry cough, and shortness of breath. But we hear from many people that have experienced coronavirus that they have also experienced a sore throat, extreme fatigue, and some have even indicated they have abdominal pain or gastrointestinal issues. Most of the symptoms for most of us will be mild to moderate, but as you may have heard, older persons and all people with underlying health conditions are at risk for more serious illness. Things like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, heart disease, respiratory illness, those are the kinds of underlying health conditions that we're finding are causing more serious illness in individuals.
Okay, I'd like to go to a question from Ms. Rouser. I'm sorry if I've not pronounced that correctly. Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You go ahead and ask your
question. Good evening.
My question, hi, how are you? My question is, I live in the city of Pontiac,
And I would like to know if there were any cases that were noticed in Pontiac, and if they were, I'm not asking for names or where they are, but I just would like to know if there were any cases, and if there were, how many, and if there have been any deaths contribute to this case of coronavirus.
And unfortunately, I can't give you that information at the moment. I can tell you that periodically we do a sweep to make sure that we don't have any areas that are just way more cases than others. And a couple of days ago, we looked at that and did not see any high number of cases in one community over the other. But I can also tell you that pretty much every community in Oakland County has cases. I do know that Pontiac had cases. How many? I can't tell you at the moment. I just don't have that data in front of me. And I don't even have death data in front of me to answer that question for you. I'm sorry.
Kathy, I can help with that. I think the questioner, as I recall, you were asking whether there have been any deaths in Pontiac residents. Yes, I do know two of the deaths were Pontiac residents, and we have certainly reached out to those families at this time of crisis.
Thank you. I'll take a question from Ms. Ratliff.
Yes, this is Ratliff. I have a question. I mean, you were talking about safety and stay home and stay safe as possible, but today we had a rally in a parking lot at ITA. And the parents was coming in, like, we were doing like a drive-through, but the parents who didn't have no vehicle, they came with a wagon to get a supply of food for lunch and breakfast, a week worth of lunch and breakfast. So how safe is that? Because the parents said they still have to open their window to get the food or open their trunk up.
Yeah, drive-thrus are always good and definitely much preferred, but even if someone comes in on foot, as long as you're practicing social distancing, that can be
a little...
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
I said it was in a parking lot, open parking lot, but is that still safe?
As long as you're at least 6 feet from another person and if you notice someone ill, you're staying away, that can definitely reduce your risk.
And also, what Dr. Fauci reinforced with me today is that the disease is spread by respiratory droplets. So, which that's why the 6 feet guidance, doubling like a 3 foot marker from the respiratory droplets, which is why it would be so important, to wash your hands, not touch your face, those types of things. Right, Kathy?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question from Ms. Smith.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yes, this is Blanche American, Mayor. How are you? Sister Powell, how are you? And everybody in their respective places? And Sister Bear? Bear? Okay. My question is, if you're sick, but you don't have a coronavirus, it's kind of scary going into these hospitals now, with the outbreak. Would they be safe? Do y'all accept people at the county if you're sick and not with the virus?
So it's very difficult to know when someone's sick unless they've had a test to know for certain they don't have coronavirus.
Exactly.
So we are employing at the county and many other places, including hospitals, if someone is exhibiting any signs and symptoms of illness, because they are screening people at the door, they should not enter. Hospitals are restricting visitation tremendously, and they're keeping a close watch on their employees as well. So this is really the time to hunker down and just say, maybe assume that someone that you know is ill has coronavirus because testing has been just difficult to get. So
okay, but I'm saying I know this person doesn't have the virus, but they are sick. It has nothing to do with the virus.
So someone, Kathy, that needs regular medical care, what are their options?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
So they are sick. Are they safe from going in these places? Is that the question?
Yeah. So, it's okay.
You know, if they need regular medical attention, that's going to be the primary concern for that person. Hospitals are doing everything they can to segregate people that are sick with coronavirus away from all the other people that are being treated in their hospitals.
An option is also to call the nurse on call. I'll just repeat that number. They may want to call and discuss their symptoms with the nurse on call. It's 800. If they don't have a primary care doctor, they can reach.
Okay. You say
800-848-5533.
Okay, thank you very much.
If that person needs regular medical attention from their primary care physician, they should also call ahead to make sure that they'll be able to enter that practice safely as well.
Thank you. Now I'll take a question from Ms. Major. Hello, Shirley?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
My question is, if I have two kids that work at the hospital, what chances do I have of catching it or being safe?
Kathy, the question is, she has two children, two adult kids that work at a hospital. So what precautions can she take and what concerns should she have about her kids that work at a hospital?
So do your kids live with you?
Yes.
Okay, so then I would definitely practice social distancing from them. And if they work in a hospital, they should be looking every day for signs and symptoms of the illness. And if they recognize any signs and symptoms, they likely won't be going to work, or they'll have to get clearance from the hospital in order to go. But you should be really careful about practicing social distancing from them during this period.
I have a question from someone who just would like me to ask it, and it's the question about whether you can be reinfected if you've already had coronavirus.
So that's a very good question. We always assume when you get an illness or a disease that you develop antibodies to it, and that means that your body will recognize that illness when it comes in contact with it again, produce those antibodies, and fight it off. The problem is we don't have enough data about this particular coronavirus to know if that's actually the case. We're making assumptions that that's true, but honestly, we aren't going to know for some time until we've seen how it behaves in our population. We need more data, to be perfectly honest with you.
Thank you. I have a question from Stanley. Mr. Howerton, I believe it is?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my question is, I'm retired. I haul mail part-time for the mail company here in Pontiac out of Metroplex. And my wife has dementia. I don't have any signs of Alzheimer's at all. I do wear a mask when I'm at work, much as I possibly can do that. And also, when we get in our trucks, I do clean the trucks out good, so that's all checked out there. I'm not having symptoms, but should I have a test done just to make sure I'm okay instead of bringing it into her, because she's in pretty bad shape and it would definitely do her in.
Your wife, to be careful with your wife, if you are out and about, so it's important that you do a lot of social distancing when you're out doing your job as best that you can. And then be extra cautious when you're with your wife. And if you develop any signs or symptoms, you need to be on the watch for them. Make sure you self-isolate away from her.
Right. What would I do now? I primarily stay in the back bedroom when I get home around 10 a.m. I stay in here the biggest part of the day just to go in and fix her something to eat or go medication, something like that. Just trying to, keep it away as much as I can. So, okay, well, I appreciate the answer. I think that would be okay there, and I appreciate the time you've given on this, and I think it's a great call.
Thank you.
Good luck, sir. Thank you.
I'll take a question from Ms. Cobb.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Good evening.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Good Okay, I would like to know, why can't we get some specific concrete information on distancing? We have people in government saying, oh, you should go out, and most recently go to church. Why can't someone just say, no, don't do that, without just walking around the answer? They're doing anything but saying, no, don't do it. It's, oh, well, maybe it's just things change. We need some specific information. I'm not going to do it. But there are a lot of people who listen to some people who are not medical professionals, and why can't someone get the people who are not in the medical professions to shut up? Because there are people who are listening.
Well, that's a great question. I'm chuckling with Mayor Waterman and the other politicos on the line because we understand your frustration. Getting good, consistent, accurate information out to the public is sometimes harder than you think, especially when you're dealing with, you know, they call this novel coronavirus for a reason. It's novel. We haven't experienced this before. And so we don't know all the answers. The governor started at 250 and then 100 people and then 50 people. The CDC came out and said 10 or less. I know there's some countries that are saying 2 or less. I know that can seem confusing. We're trying to give you the best and most accurate, up-to-date information that we have. But the bottom line is stay 6 feet away from as many people as you possibly can. Stay out of crowds. Stay 6 feet away from people. Stay home if you're not feeling well and call your doctor. All of those basic things that you've been hearing about are accurate. I know the numbers vary, but we can take care of ourselves. That's the good news. We can stop this virus if everybody just stayed home and didn't contact anybody. We know that's impossible. There's some people that have to go to certain jobs, but the more we just stay away in social distance, and social distance means 6 feet, the better off we'll be. But I appreciate your frustration. Mayor, I can imagine you do as well.
I understand that too, Ms. Cobb, and I hope you're well. I'm doing well. But I would repeat what our county executive said. I listen to the people who are the experts on this. I listen to the CDC. I listen to our county health department. And both best information we try to pass along through our website as well as the county does the same. So you're right. There's so much information. There's so many people saying so much different stuff. But you want to make sure that you're getting the information from the people who are the experts on that. And that's what I do. I'm a physician myself by training. Even I don't depend upon my knowledge. I make sure I go to the ones who are the latest, have the latest information, and access to the latest research. I even go to my own colleagues who are working in the emergency room and did a couple PSAs with the head of the emergency room, both at St. Joe and McLaren. So you're right. If there's so much information out there, go to the sources that you know are the most expert. And those are, as we said, the CDC, Oklahoma County Health Department. The people on this call are the ones who are connected in with that up-to-date research. And so you can obtain that on the website, Facebook pages, and all the things we told you about. And you can also call the hotline, and we also have the nurse on call. So if you have a doubt about anything you're hearing or being told, and those are the resources that you can go to that are dependable and reliable.
I have a question, again, from someone who would prefer that I ask it. But, Kathy, can you, we talked about the 6 feet and the social distancing and the respiratory droplets, but can you discuss a little bit about whether, what we know about the virus as to whether it's airborne and how we have to take precautions in terms of surfaces?
That's true. Airborne is the primary way that this is being transferred from droplets from people that are coughing and sneezing. But we also know that the virus can live on surfaces for up to 72 hours, which is why it's so important to do a lot of cleaning and sanitizing and thinking about surfaces that where many people in your house might be touching throughout the day, such as doorknobs, handrails, faucet handles, refrigerator, doorknob, all of those things that we just repeatedly touch, so remote controls, that kind of thing. So it's very important to stay up on disinfecting with household cleaners. We have a lot of information on our website
about that under the public tab, and we can provide you with that information, www.ocgov.com/health. We have a great coronavirus page with a lot of that kind of information. But surfaces are very important to think about, too.
Thank you. One more question from Valerie. I have two more questions. I'm sorry. Ms. Rickman? Ms. Rickman, go ahead.
Yes, I am a caregiver to my auntie who is 99 years old. I'm taking precautions. No one goes in the room unless I have to go in, but I have to bathe her. So my question is, should I try to get a mask, or should she wear a mask, and or should I, what precautions should I take to make it safer for her? And I do all those things. I do the surfaces, all of that stuff. I do her surveilling, everything in her room. So, and I wear gloves also. So is there something that I need to know that would make her safer, as well as myself and the rest of my family? But I just, you know, more concerned about her because she is 99. She's in pretty good health. So that's what I would like to know.
Thank you. Sure. So thank you very much for taking such good care of her. You're doing some excellent things. You're practicing keeping other people out of her room, which is always the first thing we tell people to do to restrict visitation. I know that's difficult, so we encourage people to help people communicate through other ways. If you have a cell phone where people could talk to her through that, or any phone for that matter. But you're doing the right thing by wearing gloves. I'm sure you're washing your hands before you put the gloves on and after you take them off as part of the protocol. And you're cleaning the surfaces. That's excellent, too. And, you know, I know that when you're caring for her, you obviously have to get closer than 6 feet, so you're asking me about a mask. It's very difficult to get that kind of what we call personal protection equipment. But one thing that might be easier than other things to get a hold of is what we call a surgical mask, which isn't a respirator mask, and there might be more available to you. You can ask your pharmacist about that. Your pharmacist can make recommendations about what you might use if you can't find that. A surgical mask will protect the person that you're working with from your droplets. The other kind of mask, a respirator mask, is the kind that would protect the person you're working with from anything around her. So if you're the only one in the room and you can find a way to use a surgical mask or perhaps other means to cover your nose and your mouth, then she's not getting any droplets from you as you're talking to her or anything like that. So that might be an additional step you could take, but I really think you're really on the right track with her, and thank you for taking such good care of her.
I need to clarify one item that we discussed earlier in the call, because it's been asked. We discussed the partnership that the county has established with two caterers, restaurants, Beans and Cornbread in Lafayette. It's important for everyone to realize that they're providing that food to the shelters, so it's not at their sites. So they're delivering meals out to our community partners. I just wanted to clarify that. Now I will recognize Roger Myers, who is with Presbyterian Village. Mr. Myers?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to just make a brief comment. First, thank the county executive and the mayor for hosting this call. Very, very informative. For those of you on the call that live in a senior residence, senior housing, many of them have a service coordinator, like a social worker. The service coordinators are excellent resources, and I would encourage you to contact the service coordinator with questions, concerns. They can be a great help to you. And again, thank you for having this call.
Thank you, Roger. So I think that's it for our calls. Mayor, I'm so glad to join you this evening and the residents of Pontiac. There have been some great questions. I hope we got some good information out. Mayor, I just want to thank you, the council, and all the leadership in Pontiac for helping me pull this together.
I thank you so much for your leadership, and I'm pleased for all the people who dialed in, and I hope this has been very helpful for them. And let's do it again, because this is a very dynamic process that's going on right now, and I still know people appreciate you coming in, not only for coronavirus emergency, but also for everything else you've done for Pontiac, and look forward to working with you on many more projects. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
When you hang up the phone, you'll be able to leave any additional questions, and our staff will get back to you tomorrow. The hotline number, just to repeat it, is 248-858-1000. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Good evening.